Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Brent and Chuck podcast, the big story podcast, the place for you to come and find out what's going on in the world of the big story.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you'll notice is we didn't have any music today, and that's because Chuck has some technical challenges.
Technical difficulties going on in out there in tech world for me. All right. I'm not a geek, and I never have pretended to be one.
Even though at times you are one.
Yeah, that's right. I don't have to pretend. It depends on which definition of geek you're using.
Yeah, because if we're talking about 70s music, you'd be right.
Well, we have not, I don't think we have had a podcast since we've gotten into the New Testament.
That's right. We were on the crest of it.
And so we've been 2 weeks on Sundays into the New Testament. And did you enjoy the first week, Brent, when we had... you were not here for the Christmas music, were you? Y'all were coming back?
We were coming back from our fall retreat. So yeah. Myself and the students, we came in at the end.
I'm sure you heard all kinds of great reviews
about... Some people said it was amazing. They just loved all the music. And again, they can tell that was your skill and talent.
Oh, really? Yeah. From days gone by?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
You know, for those of you who weren't here, I did the music. William and Jill were out taking a weekend off, and so we did. We did a Christmas-themed worship,
right.
And dealt with John 1, Jesus being the Word come in flesh.
Right.
And so then we have moved into a couple of weeks of just reading different stories of the Gospels. I will ask you this, Brent. How have you found it... How have you found it reading? Because it's a little choppy.
Right, yeah, I find it, I mean, honestly, in some ways sort of frustrating because you're really getting into it. And I don't know if you found this, but you actually read beyond. Like, you got your little reader's guide, and you're like, oh, I think I went to verse 38. You know,
yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of that. Honestly, I'm actually trying to take the advice that Cindy gave, and that is that if you have one of those year-round Bibles sitting on your shelf, it almost follows what George is saying.
Oh, like a chronological?
Right, and it'll take some of the frustration out of that. So I've got that on the shelf ready to go. And,
okay.
So I might go that
and
route.
And that is coming out. Holman's coming out with one to go along with this sometime here in the next few weeks, I think.
But all the basic ones that have been out there
similar,
in the last 10
probably years, in the Gospels, very similar then.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so, yeah, that's a great idea.
So yeah, stole it from Cindy. She came up with it. And
okay.
Like, that is great.
So if you're finding it hard to jump around,
right, yeah,
then maybe get your hands on a chronological Bible, yeah, and it'll feel a little bit more like there's some continuity.
And absolutely, not only that, but the dates are almost word for word because they're reading through the Bible a year, and
yeah,
a lot of them have the dates. So.
Well, cool. Okay. I don't have one of those. That's good to hear. Learn something new every day.
Okay.
Although I knew those were out there, but... Hey, I just want to throw out some things that I found somewhat a little bit strange, maybe, depending on how you think about them, maybe a little bit humorous.
Okay.
And just see what you think about it.
Okay.
So we're reading along, and I got some of the references here. So we're reading along in Mark chapter 1, Jesus heals a man with some serious skin disease.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, this dude is eat up with whatever skin disease it was. I mean, it doesn't necessarily say it was leprosy or whatever, and it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what it was, but I'm sure it was something that was pretty obvious. And he heals the guy,
mm-hmm,
and then he tells him this, see that you say nothing
right
to anyone about it, except just go show yourself to the priest.
Right.
I just found that really interesting. You got a guy who's eat up
right
with something
right
on his skin that's obvious, but he doesn't tell anybody. Jesus doesn't want him to tell anybody about
right
it. Isn't that interesting? Matthew chapter 9. Two blind guys get healed.
Right.
All right, so we got two blind guys now.
Okay.
All right, so they're either walking around with sticks or people are leading them around or however a blind guy would get around. Two blind guys. Jesus heals two blind guys. You know what he tells them to do? Be sure that no one finds out.
Right, right.
Yeah. I found that kind of funny. That,
yeah.
Hey, guys, I know you were blind, and now you can walk around and see everything.
Right.
try to keep it to yourself. Right. You know, I mean, yeah. Can you imagine? You think Jesus really meant that for those guys?
I think yes.
Make sure
no.
nobody finds out you can see now. Keep pretending like you're blind.
No, I don't think that's what he meant. You want me to tell you the answer?
I got some more. Mark chapter 6, he comes walking on the water.
Right.
Okay, so he's been gone all night. He sends the the disciples on across the lake. And he comes walking on the water in the middle of the night. For right. goodness sake.
Right.
What does he say to them? Have courage.
Yeah.
It's me. Don't be afraid.
Right.
I mean, I just find that really funny that Jesus is coming. I mean, they're going to think he's a ghost. Come on.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's in the middle of the night. There's no lights out on the lake, okay? Right. And so they see this figure out there walking on the water. I just found that really funny. And then one more was in Luke 5 when he tells Peter, he's been finished teaching there, and he tells Peter, hey, why don't you back the boat back out there into the deep water and put down your nets, and we'll catch some fish. And so Peter been doing that all night long.
Right.
Like, he's a professional.
Right, yeah.
And Jesus says, but go ahead and put your... I just found that really funny that they go out there and then they get so many fish, they got to get some help to get them all in.
Right,
you know, and how would Peter feel... and you had the professional rabbi telling the professional fisherman how to do it. And then one more, Luke chapter 9, feeding of the 5,000. They come to him and the disciples say, hey, Jesus, you need to send all these people back home because we don't have any food and it's getting late here. And
right.
and what does Jesus tell them?
You buy
it. You guys give them some food.
Yeah.
I think that's just so funny.
Yeah.
And the reason these things hit me is that Jesus, and you can respond because I know you have a response to it, but I put myself in the human situation.
Right,
of this,
yeah.
Trying to be on the other side.
Right.
And man, if I'm a blind guy, and I've been blind for a while,
right.
Do you really think I'm going to say nothing that I can see now?
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm going to have to tell somebody.
Right. Well, he's just shooting so straight with him. I mean, the one example we talked about, my small group, we were in John 5, the healing of Bethesda, and he immediately, of course, asked him, what can I do for you? You know, what do you want? Of course, the guy didn't even, like, answer Jesus' question. Oh, you know, every time this water bubbles up, I try to get down there. And just like, he's take up your mat and walk. He's such a straight shooter. And everything he says, it is so purposeful. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
you think about our words and our language, how much we say that we ourselves may not know what our purpose is. But that's one thing we can take confidence in. Now, that one thing that you're talking about there, and a couple of those others I think are interesting just for its sake of really just being their personal thing. But the other one I think does have a theological emphasis, the first one there, the idea of keep quiet. Because he doesn't do that just in one place. I mean, we're talking
right.
Mark. It's very consistent and in other places in the gospel as well. My understanding of that, and if you have a different one, you can let me know. My understanding of that is the idea that Jesus has a purpose
mm-hmm.
and a timetable.
Mm-hmm.
And that he does not want anybody to get that out of whack. And so what he's doing here is he's saying... if you guys were allowed to really build up a crowd and get some excitement going for me, the next thing you'd want to do is put a crown on me and give me a nice big mansion up on the hill.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
He's always saying, that's not now, guys. That's not my purpose, not now. And that gets into the kingdom to come kind of thing. But I really think that's my understanding.
I think you're right. He did not want the true nature of his mission mm-hmm. and his messiahship misunderstood.
Yeah.
But what struck me is that, well, in one sense, he would tell people that some people, not everybody, he would tell some people that he healed, please don't tell anybody about this.
Right. Yeah.
And it's certainly because
he
didn't want things to get out of hand in the wrong time, like
exactly
what you
right.
said. Now, he also told his disciples, in Luke 9, when he says, who do people say that I am?
Yeah.
Remember that conversation?
Yeah.
And, you know, well, some say Elijah, some the prophet, and John the Baptist, whatever. And he said, and Peter says, no, you're the Messiah.
Yeah.
And he said, don't tell anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Then in Luke, he goes to the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
Right after that.
Right.
goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and in the Matthew version, when they come down, he says, don't tell anybody about this until after the resurrection.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't even understand there was going to be a resurrection yet with him. Right. But so he's got two different kinds of people he's telling them, don't misunderstand this and don't say anything about it. And I think it's because, like what you said, that he didn't want his kingship, his messiahship, to be misunderstood.
Right.
His work was leading to, and I wrote this down, to his crucifixion
and
his exaltation by the Father.
Right, that's exactly
He didn't want him to be exalted by men.
That's exactly right. Well, before time. Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, and not exalted in the way they wanted to exalt him.
Yeah.
Remember,
they're
always thinking, Jesus, we're heading to Jerusalem. You go ahead and slaughter the people in charge, and I'll sit on your left, and let my buddy over here sit on your right, and we'll be good to go. And he's constantly telling him, do you not understand what the kingdom of God is? There's a sense in which, yes, you will be saved and you will have a kingship, but not the way you think.
Yeah,
it's a kingship of suffering and my purposes. So absolutely.
I guess another angle that was interesting to me, and it happens a couple of times in our reading, where Jesus is described in contrast to the scribes and the Pharisees as somebody who teaches with authority.
Right, yeah.
And I think maybe that because of his authority, it sort of gives me a different view of some of these things, where he goes, hey, you guys, don't tell anybody that I healed you.
Yeah.
I think Jesus understands every aspect of us as human beings.
Absolutely.
And so I think maybe he was thinking, I know these guys can't keep it to themselves.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but I'm in charge here.
Right. Yeah.
I'm in charge of my work, my mission.
Absolutely.
I mean, he came to lay his life down. Nobody took it from him, you know.
Yeah.
So I think maybe in one sense, he knew.
Right.
He knew these guys are not going to be able to keep it to
themselves.
Right,
and that's why you asked me, your first question you asked me was, do you think Jesus really intended them for them to keep it in? And I said yes and no, because I really think that you're absolutely right. I mean, he understood human nature, but again, I think it all comes down to exactly what you're saying here. He was trying to say, but I'm taking control of this situation, and this is going to go down the way the Father and I have planned it, and not the way you've planned it.
Yeah, so what would be some other examples that we see in our reading of that?
Yeah.
Remember those times where he's in the crowd, and I mean, he...
Right,
he shucks the corn
with
some of the religious leaders.
Yeah,
and what happens?
Yeah,
they're ready to kick his tail, string him up.
They're always getting
bent
out.
And what happens?
Yeah,
nothing.
Right, that's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, you just get the idea that.
I mean, I wish I could have been there to see it, because I don't know that the scripture describes exactly how it happened. Because we get the impression that Jesus just disappears, you know, like invisible man. I think he had so much authority.
Right.
That if somebody picked up a rock, they put it down.
Right.
If they picked up a stick, Jesus look them right in the face and walk right past them, and they couldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, so much authority.
No, I think absolutely so. No, I do not hold that Jesus sort of got to steal his divinity things back and forth whenever he wanted to. When he came to take on flesh and became a man, it makes it very clear in the scripture that he gave up that all of his right that he could have had to just slaughter people at any time and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Now, here's the other thing that I would throw out there, and a lot of people don't like to think about this, but take this a step further. If God was in control of Jesus' life and he knew how to protect him until his time has come, what about us? Is that true for us? And I would say yes. I would say that your life is no accident, and that when it's time for you to go, you'll go, and not a moment sooner. And that's meant to bring comfort.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kind of stuff, so. Yeah, we'd rather be in the hands of God than in the hands of anybody else, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Man, amen.
I mean, Jesus makes it really clear that they can do a lot of things, but not a hair on your head will perish.
Mm.
I mean, not a sparrow falls. So I think it's true for us as well, if it's true for the Son of God.
That's a great place to wrap it up.
Absolutely. Well, we've gone 14 minutes, and we have no music, but...
Thanks for listening this long, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.